Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're learning how we can break up with our old self and become a new person in Christ.
You may still sin, but you are no longer under the mastery of sin. Now you have been freed from the mastery. So you are no longer an addict. You are no longer under compulsion. You are no longer driven. Now it's your choice.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and President of Moody Bible Institute. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Mark is right here in the studio with us today. And as we move forward in our study of Romans chapter 6, we're turning to that chapter to focus our attention on change. And Mark, you like to say that transformation doesn't end when a person accepts Jesus. That's just the beginning.
Just the beginning. That's right. There has to be a beginning. A beginning marks the first bold step that someone has to take. But this passage reminds us that we will struggle with sin still, but we're not mastered by sin anymore.
Right. We're not bound by it, are we?
We're not slaves. Before, we were driven and slaves and mastered by it. When we come to Christ, we're liberated from it. We'll struggle with the old nature, but we're set free from it. And someone needs to hear this message today. You have been set free from the mastery of sin.
This is from our series, City of God, and again, it comes from Romans chapter 6. Turn there with us now as Mark begins.
Romans chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Today I want to talk to you about what it means to really change. Some of you have recently made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some of you have taken a step of believer's baptism. Some of you, for the first time in your life, have come to the front at this altar or maybe in a small group, and with a heart of repentance, you have said, "I no longer want to rule my life. I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life, but I also want him to be the Savior that cleanses, washes me, and makes me new." And some of you are starting brand new, but there's a question in your mind. You say in your mind, "But Pastor, what if I fall back? What if I continue to sin? What if after God has touched my life and I've chosen to follow him, the old friends come in and tempt me? The old habits I have in my life start dragging me back. I'm afraid that in 3 months from now, even though I've made a decision, I'm afraid that I'm going to be sucked back into the old lifestyle. And what if that happens?" Well, this is what Paul is addressing in Romans chapter 6. He's talking about how to break free from our old self and embrace our new self. And so he begins by addressing the question of this: what happens to our old self? And so today we're going to talk a little bit theology, but I want you to stick with me because I don't want that word theology to frighten you. Theology is merely the study of God. And if you understand God, you understand the ways of God. So what happens to the old self? Well, Paul addresses this question. He says, well, some people were saying, and we've been studying this over the last several weeks, that you cannot earn your salvation. You cannot work for your salvation. That no matter how good you try to be, your good is not good enough. No matter how much you try to be like God, live up to the standards of God, that will never earn you your salvation. I hope you have that by now. I hope you're not trying to earn your salvation and your way into heaven through your good works. I hope you stop trying that, because if you've heard anything, you need to know that you cannot do it by your good works. It is a gift of God. That the only way that you can be made right with God is not by being good enough to be right with God, but it's by receiving the gift of forgiveness and transformation that comes by God through his washing and regeneration. Salvation is a gift. It's not something you can earn or pay for. How many of you know that? Are you grasping that? Because I can't preach that hard enough. So some people were saying, okay, well, if it's a gift, what shall we say then? Look, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Some people were saying, well, if it's a gift, what if we just go on sinning then? Because if it's a gift that God gives us, people can just go on sinning and God's grace is going to keep covering their sin. And so should we go on sinning so that God's grace and his favor would be poured out in our lives? And Paul says, hold on, no, by no means. He explains, no, we don't go on sinning just because our good works don't earn us. We're not lost because of our good works. We don't earn it because of our good works. It's given to us by grace, but it doesn't mean we go on sinning. And Paul says, well, why don't we go on sinning? He says, because we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer since we died? And then he uses the illustration of baptism. He says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? I had a picture of one of our baptisms on Facebook, and I got a comment from someone in Spain, a friend of mine in Spain, and he said, wow, you guys have ugly baptistries in the U.S. He said, when I saw your baptistries, I thought they were coffins. And I saw you bringing people out of those coffins, and I thought, wow, they're resurrecting the dead. I have to admit, they're not the prettiest things in the world. And I started thinking about it. You know, they do look a little bit like a coffin. And I thought, how appropriate? I mean, seriously, how appropriate is the fact that our baptistries look like coffins? Because that's the point of baptism. Now, that's exactly what Paul says. He says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And we therefore are buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too, and here I love this phrase, may live a new life. Some people say, well, Pastor, there's new life in the Bible. Of course it is. So we too may live a new life. You see, what Paul is saying is that we identify with the cross of Jesus. That when you come to Christ, you die. You die to yourself. Yeah. When you come to Christ, you are identifying with the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, you are not on the cross itself, but your spirit, your old man, is crucified with Jesus Christ. And once you are crucified, you say, God, I die to my old self. I don't want to live my old self anymore. Then in baptism, we show that your old self is buried, just like Jesus died on the cross, and then they buried him. And that's why, by the way, some people say, well, Pastor, I would rather be sprinkled. Could you just sprinkle me? Because I don't really want to go all the way into the water. One lady last week said, Pastor, I want to be the first to be baptized. I said, why? I have a real thing about getting in water that other people have been in. So we honored her. You know, she got in there first. But someone says, Pastor, I don't want to be go all the way under. I just want to be sprinkled. Let me tell you why we baptize by immersion. We baptize by immersion because baptism is a visual of what's happening to us spiritually. When you're buried, we don't just like sprinkle dust on you. I mean, we bury you. I mean, I haven't been to a burial service where they said, well, you know, we're just going to lay the body out here in the cemetery. And here, we're just going to throw a little dirt on him and just kind of leave the body there. And everybody walks away with a body and a little dust on him. No, that's not how we bury. When we bury all the way under, right? So immersion baptism is symbolic of we take a person all the way under because it symbolizes that they are buried. Their old self is dead. They died with Jesus Christ on the cross. They were buried like Jesus was buried. And listen, on the third day, what happened? Jesus rose from the grave. And he rose a new man. Oh, it was still a body, but it wasn't the body he was buried with. It was a physical body, but it was a body that could walk through walls. It was a body that, it was his glorified body. And so he was resurrected on the third day, a glorified body, just like you and I. When we come to Christ and we're buried in baptism and we're raised out of the waters of baptism, it's a sign that our old self is dead and that we've been resurrected to a new self in Jesus Christ to live a new life in Jesus. You see, the meaning of baptism, the word is immersed or covered over or submerged in. And that's why when we talk about being baptized, it means totally immersed. Or when the Bible talks about being baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's the idea of being immersed with the Spirit, covered over with the Spirit. Or in Mark chapter 10, verse 39, it talks about being baptized with suffering. It means we're totally immersed in suffering, a difficult period of time. And then he says in verse 5, follow with me. If we have been united with him in his death, because you cannot follow Jesus Christ and keep living. And every time when someone gives their life to Christ, there is a death that occurs and a resurrection that follows.
Mark Jobe's message here on Bold Steps will continue in just a moment. Mark is in the studio with me here, and we're looking at our resource that we're offering right now. Our Bold Step gift is a book, Mark, called The Road Trip That Changed the World.
Yeah, and I love the fact that Mark Sayers, who's the writer of this book, he talks about the fact that if you're pursuing pleasure and happiness, you'll not end up getting it because really, the road trip is narrow, and it's what Jesus talked about.
That's
it's
right,
a narrow
yeah.
way, but ultimately it leads to happiness.
Yeah. The Road Trip That Changed the World. It's an intriguing title and a better book, so you can read it when you go online to ask for this and give a gift to Bold Steps Radio. Ask for the book at boldstepsradio.org. Or call one of our friendly staff here at 844-615-7363. Indicate your gift of any size, and then ask for the book by Mark Sayer. 844-615-7363. Well, let's jump back into today's message. Mark Jobe is going to expand on the different types of natures that we possess and how we can truly break free from our old self.
You see, many people have misunderstood the gospel and have thought that they can keep living their lives and they just add God to their lives to make their life better. That is not the gospel. The gospel of Jesus is when you come to Jesus, your old self dies so that your new self can be resurrected. That's why he says in verse 5, if you have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Verse 6, for we know that our old self, say it out loud, old self. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin may be done away with, that we should no longer live as slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been free from sin. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand what the Apostle Paul is teaching. Some of you have come to Christ and you say, what if I sin again? Let me tell you, you will sin again. Oh, wow. Okay. Whew. I thought if I got saved, then I had to be sinless. No, no, no. You're not sinless. Only Jesus is sinless. Hopefully you will sin less, though. You see, there's something that's changed. You will sin. And if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and you confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But when you become a believer, it doesn't mean you become perfect and you never sin. It means that now, but something has changed in your relationship to sin. In the past, sin was your master. You had to sin. You were a slave to sin. Sin dominated your life. Sin was a master over you, and you had a sin nature. Whatever nature you have, it means you have a predisposition towards something. Nature determines behavior. When you have a sin nature, you sin. What was crucified? It says your old self was crucified. I'm going to get into a little bit of theology here, but stick with me because this is important. It's practical theology. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says this, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh of the mind, and we were by, say it out loud, we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. You see, this is the way it works. Let me summarize how this works. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them without a sin nature. They were made in the image of God. They had a God nature inside of them. So when God made Adam and Eve, they did not have to sin. They did not have the propensity to sin. They were not slaves to sin. He created them free from a sin nature. But he also made them like himself, where he gave them the power to choose. And so Adam and Eve did not live in sin. They did not continually sin like you and I struggle with sin, fight sin, resist sin. They did not have that battle. They lived in freedom in this paradise. And when they walked with God and talked with God, and there was no compulsion to sin, there was no drive to sin. They weren't lusting and envying and lying. They weren't selfish and proudful. They lived in an idyllic world and had a relationship. They were naked and unashamed. There was transparency in their life between them and transparency with God. They lived in this world that God had created, but they also had a choice. And one day, that foreboding day came in which they were lured into sin. Not because they had to sin, not because they were driven to sin, but because they were tempted and lured into sin. The moment that Eve took of that fruit, oh, we don't know what kind of fruit it was, but we know that Eve took of the fruit in direct disobedience to God, not because she had to, not because she was driven to, but because she was lied to and she gave in to something. She did not have a sin nature. As soon as she committed one sin, and had Adam commit that one sin, then suddenly the world changed. They were no longer free from a sin nature. Suddenly they felt shame and they covered themselves. Suddenly they started hiding and lying. Suddenly there was a propensity to sin. Their nature had changed. They no longer were free from a sin nature. They had the darkness of sin upon them. Their nature had changed. And from then on, you see murder and hatred and envy and bitterness and strife. You see bigotry. You see incest and fornication and adultery. You see darkness overshadowing their soul because now they were subject to a sin nature. And everyone born from Adam and Eve on, the sons of Adam and Eve, the daughters of Adam and Eve, we've all inherited something called the sin nature. We are not born like they were created without a sin nature. We are born with a sin nature. It's passed down to us through humanity, inherited through the seed of man. So every child that's born from Adam on, no one has to teach that child to sin. No one has to take a course in lying 101. You don't have to teach a baby as they grow older how to be selfish. My kids, one of the first words they learned was mine. No. You need to give that over to daddy. No. Mine. I'm like, honey, who taught? They came out after your side of the family, honey, I'm saying. That's not true. It's not her side of the family or his side of the family. It's Adam's side of the family. It's the sin nature. Every child has the sin nature. And when they're old enough, every child will sin. Every child will sin. I hate to break that to you grandparents because you think, oh, no, my kid. No, they sin, believe me. And they've been born with a sin nature. Now, when we're born with a sin nature. Now, we're not condemned because of our sin nature. We're condemned because of our sin. But our sin nature gives us a propensity to sin. So this is what happens when you become born again of the Spirit of God. This is what happens. This is what the Bible tells us. That when you come to Christ and you give your life to Christ, the old man, the old self, is crucified. What's crucified? Your sin nature, the old self, is crucified. So, and a new self, the spirit man, is born inside of you. You say, well, Pastor, explain that a little bit to me. Well, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It's Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for its righteousness could be gained through the law. Christ died for nothing. Listen, what he's telling us in these verses is that our old self dies the moment you come to Christ. Listen, if you gave your life to Christ and said yes to Jesus, I repent of my sins. I accept you as Lord and Savior. At that moment, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and your old man is crucified. The moment you leave this altar, you repent, believe, and are baptized. You may still sin, but you are no longer under the mastery of sin. Now you have been freed from the mastery. So you are no longer an addict. You are no longer under compulsion. You are no longer driven. Now it's your choice. Do you understand? Before you were slaves, now you're sons of God and daughters of God with a choice. Before you had to sin, now you don't have to sin. Before you were driven to sin because you had a sin nature, now you have the God nature inside of you. That drive to sin no longer dominates your life. The old man is crucified, and there's a new man resurrected inside of you, the spirit man. The spirit man is like Jesus. Now, you say, well, Pastor, why do I still struggle with sin then? Oh, I'm going to get there. Hold on.
You're listening to Bold Steps and a message from Mark Jobe's City of God series. If you've joined us late and you'd like to catch the entire message, or if you'd like to listen to the complete series at your own convenience, you can do that online at boldstepsradio.org. And if you're a regular listener of this program and enjoy Mark's bold and authentic teaching, why not become a Bold partner? Help keep this program on the air day after day, week after week, for less than a cup of coffee. We've made signing up quick and easy when you go online to boldstepsradio.org. Plus, when you give a financial gift of $30 or more each month, that's a dollar a day, we'll send you a link for 50% off any selection in the entire Moody Publishers catalog. You can also send your one-time gift in the mail by addressing your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Once again, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And when you give a gift of any amount today, we'll send you a copy of Mark Sayer's book, The Road Trip That Changed the World. Designed to help you seek a life of adventure just as Jesus did on the narrow road, this is one book that's geared toward calling the travelers of this world home via the signposts of the cross. Change how you view the culture, the church, and more importantly, yourself. Request your copy today. You'll find this online at boldstepsradio.org. Well, I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when we'll learn how to live freely as a changed person for God. It's part of our City of God series, and our message is coming up on Thursday's edition of Bold Steps with Mark Joe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.